I don't know. Do you guys want to do a podcast tonight?
Ah, jeez. I mean, I got stuff going on, but Jason says no. Hold on a second.
Fine.
There you
fine.
go.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to episode 6 of One More Podcastle, that show with the guys who talk about old video games. My name is Eric Bailey. I am a 4-time pole vaulting world spectator and the editor-in-chief of onemorecastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I can eat a whole pizza in one sitting.
My name's Jason Lamb, and I write about the PC games at One More Castle, and I'll be in Cuba connecting with my communist brothers next week.
Excellent. How are you guys doing? Have you guys had any time to play any old video games lately?
Yes.
Like what?
I was actually playing Raptor Call of the Shadow before I logged in.
Ooh.
Raptor Call of the Shadow.
Raptor Call of the Shadow.
Raptor Call of the Shadow.
Okay. Right. Shadows.
I'm going to guess right now there's no physical raptors in this game.
Unfortunately.
Not even going to look it up then.
Don't.
If I can't be a raptor, I'm not going to look.
I'm sure there's some sprite mod you can install.
So what kind of game? What kind of game is it?
It's a 2D kind of vertical scrolling shoot 'em up.
I just wanted to point out that Jason has reviewed this on onemorecastle.com if anyone wants to check it out. So.
Okay, well, speaking of that, I want to bring that up because it seems like the games that you guys bring to the showdown, you've already reviewed on One More Castle.
No, last week it was just funny because we recorded and then me and Jason just happened to publish articles about our games. It's not going to be like that every week, I promise.
It's synergy.
It was just a 1 week thing, Hunter, I promise.
I don't know, because then he did Chex Quest.
Okay, it was a 2 week.
I don't see a review of Mr. Bones on One More Castle, that's all.
Do you want to start submitting written content as well?
Maybe.
Well, we can talk about that after the show.
Now, well, we're going to talk about it now, Bailey.
Fine.
I promise I chose a game this week that I did not write about this week.
We'll see.
I promise that I chose a game that I will likely never write about. So there.
Chekfu?
Wacky Wheels.
Lawnmowers.
Oh, boy.
And scene.
Yeah.
I've been playing some retro games lately.
What have you been playing?
Well, Jason, I took your advice and played Legend of Zelda Link to the Past.
Nice.
Was super excited about it. Got through it. It was a lot of fun. And then my brother and I, he had just bought a top loader NES.
Nice.
And he got Ninja Gaiden. So we were playing that back and forth, and I realized that we were so bad that we couldn't get past level 2-2. Well, it's a challenging game. I don't think it's, like a lot of people think it's cheap. I don't think it's a cheap game. The only cheap thing about the game that I don't like is the once you hit an enemy, you fall backwards.
Yeah.
I've never been a fan of that. I don't see the point in it. I mean, I can count on my hand how many games that I know of have that kind of a game aspect of the falling backwards when you get hit. So obviously it didn't take off as a great idea for a game aspect.
Right.
But yeah, still can't beat it. So I kind of gave up on it. And then I started playing The Legend of Zelda, The Outlands.
What?
Yeah, what?
What? You don't know? Okay, so The Legend of Zelda, The Outlands is a hack of the NES version of The Legend of Zelda. It's a completely new game. The overworld is completely different. All of the dungeons are completely different. Some of the weapons have been changed. It's known to be one of the best mod hacks for the entire Legend of Zelda line. It's super difficult. It's a lot of fun, especially if you're a Legend of Zelda fan of the NES version. You can go back and kind of relive a whole new adventure and a whole new world and that kind of thing. I probably put in, actually right before we got on, I probably put in about four hours of playing, and I still can't beat the first dungeon.
If I don't get it myself, I definitely know some people who would be very interested in this.
It's very cool. And actually what reminded me of it is I came across, again, rediscovered Zelda Classic. You guys know what Zelda Classic is?
No.
Nope. You guys are lame. So Zelda Classic is, it's a game-making engine that has everything Zelda. You can design your like brand new Zelda quests with, you know, new weapons and like from scratch. So like, if you're a huge Zelda fan and you wanted to make your own Zelda game, this is the easiest way to do it. And cool. I was thinking, oh man, I'd love to make my own quest. Well, it's the learning curve is, I don't have time for the learning curve. So then it reminded me of Outlands. And so I decided to play that instead.
All right. Those are some cool choices there, Hunter.
Check them out.
Well, I have been playing some old video games.
What have you been playing,
Bailey?
I have gotten back into the swing of things at NintendoLegend.com and managed to play and review three different games before tonight's recording. Those are Alpha Mission, which is a kind of a generic shoot 'em up. It's an old SNK arcade port. Honestly, not a big fan of it. Wacky Races, which is an underrated, if not completely spectacular, media licensed platformer based on that real old cartoon.
Oh, I love that cartoon.
Yeah. It's actually a decent game. It rips off Super Mario Bros. 3 a little bit because it came out a couple of years afterward, and that's what several developers just did in those years, was just take Nintendo's ideas and use them against them. But obviously, that doesn't make for the worst game. And the other one is Crystalis, which I chose for my 250th review. If you've never played it, it is amazing. It's a top-down adventure like Legend of Zelda, but with more enhanced RPG elements.
There's tough. That's a tough game, too.
Yeah, but at least you have level up, so you just need to do some more grinding, and you can eventually get through it. But it does take some time to get through, and it's one I've enjoyed for a very long time.
That's one of those games that I played where it's like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, nobody's here to help me. I'm walking around and...
There are moments like that. I actually talk about that in my review about how I've been intensely frustrated with it, especially that first time I played through it when I was a teenager, but the sense of accomplishment at getting past it is so wonderful. It's definitely not as underrated as it used to be. It's become kind of chic to point it out and appreciate it all over again, but definitely one of those gems on the NES library. Oh, and also I got those new windows on my house I mentioned a few episodes ago. So
nice.
Yeah. And I understand, Hunter, you closed on your house recently?
I did. Yeah. Closed Monday. Slowly been moving in. So all my games are over there, which was really sad to pack all those up. But I finally have the space to actually take them out of boxes and put them on shelves. So I'm excited to go back. I'm signed up with VGCollect.com, if you guys are familiar with that. It's like a video game collector's list where you just type in the games that you have, and there's a Android app for it. So like, if you go out looking for new games, you don't buy the same games that you have.
Oh, that's cool.
That kind of thing. So like, I started doing it. I started going through my collection and putting them all down, and I was like, and then I got to the point where I was buying more games and I wasn't keeping track. And And then so I sent an email to the guy who runs the site, and I was like, look, I need you to wipe my list so I can start over. He's like, yeah, no problem. Here you go. I was like, sweet. But yeah, it's got everything. Probably the coolest part about the site is that it's still a work in progress. He's only been up for, I think, about a year or so. So there's a lot of stuff that he doesn't have, you know, screenshots for or scans of the box art and stuff like that. So you can help out and submit it and write, you know, quick reviews and stuff for it. And the guy's really cool. He's I've talked to him online a couple of times, like through forums and private messages and stuff. And he just, you know, he seems like us. He's just one of those guys that was like, I need to know what's in my collection so I don't buy it again. This is the easiest way to do it.
What's that site service app called again?
It's called VGCollect.com. So videogamecollect.com. And there's the Android app.
Check it out.
Looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's real simple. There's another one that's really popular, and I can't remember what the name of it is. It starts with an R.
I see they've got a kind of a buy-sell thing going on here as well.
Yeah, so there's a buy-sell trade forum, which I'm not too big on those kinds of things.
You don't like buying games?
I don't like buying games from other collectors.
Okay. Yeah, you got to love those guys on eBay who put up Legend of Zelda and put it at like $400 because it's a gold cartridge and expect people to think it's rare. And makes me sad. All I was going to say is, while you're looking for that, Jason, I understand you have some house news as well.
I do. I signed my mortgage tonight.
Woohoo!
Yeah, congratulations. Broke.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Oh, God.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah. So, sign that. Go to Cuba for the week, and then take possession of the house 2 days after I get back from Cuba.
That seems like a fitting thing to do.
So what are you doing in Cuba? Because you're Canadian, so obviously it's okay for you to go. Us being Americans, it's not. But
no.
So what's there to do in Cuba?
Oh, there's tons of resorts.
Oh, okay. See, I wasn't sure.
Resorts. I'm going to tour Havana. I'm going to go diving.
Wow.
Go in all these crazy caves. Got a bunch of, you know, Cuban club-esque bar things you can go to. I think I read today 1 million Canadians go a year.
Wow. I wonder why that is.
I don't know. It's super cheap, which helps.
Well, there you go. That's probably it. Everyone's getting mortgages, going broke, and then going to Cuba.
Pretty much.
Well, have fun, my friend.
Thanks.
Let's go!
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I have a discussion question.
Oh.
Has a video game ever made you cry? And if not, which game came closest?
You can go first, Jason.
Oh, thanks, guys. All right. The only video game that's ever made me cry is this. It's actually relatively new. It's this indie game called Passage. It's done kind of like an 18/16-bit style. And your screen is literally just a 16x8 strip. It's debatable. It kind of borders on that. Is it a game? Is it art? Argument. You're basically controlling your character from the beginning of their life, and you have 5 minutes to guide them through this world. And within this world, you run into barriers. You meet a wife, but your wife can die, and it's basically just a kind of bleak look at life itself.
Huh. And was it just especially touching because of the attachment you had to the character and the responsibility you had to guide them?
I don't know. It might have been the mood I was in at the time, or it's just incredibly bleak. Kind of just boils down life into this kind of blip of time. But if you want to try it out, it's a free download. You can, if you Google Passage, you'll find it on the guy's website. You can also download it for your iPhone, I think.
I'm not sure I want to cry.
Yeah.
But if I'm ever in the mood, I will check it out.
All right.
Passage. Hunter, you're up.
No.
Did any game ever come close?
No, not really.
All right.
I mean, the only game-related thing I can think that kind of got me flip-clamped was maybe like an orchestrated version of the Legend of Zelda theme, but I don't know. I guess, no. I got a feeling I'm going to be the odd one out on this, though.
I think that's okay. Do you think a game could ever make you cry, or does that just seem like an off-limits, totally outside the boundary of what a game can do to you kind of thing?
No. I think it's possible. I don't know. Like, I've never cried at a movie. No, I've never cried at a movie. I've never cried at a play because, I don't know, maybe there's something in the back of my mind that says, oh, this is fake. This is a movie. This is a play. Mm-hmm. No, this is real. I don't know.
Interesting.
I'm heartless.
Reality versus simulation and its emotional effects upon us.
And I'm a cold-hearted son of a bitch.
Just the way we like you.
Well, good. Because I ain't changing. Eh, I ain't changing. But no. It's, I don't know. I mean, that's great. I mean, I'm not trying to make fun of you or anything, Jason, but I mean, that's cool, man. If you can connect on something, especially a video game, like, that's huge. If you can connect on a video game with a video game at that kind of a level, I mean, that's amazing. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something.
Fair enough. No, that's the only one I've ever connected to like that. Most of the times I find it very hard for a video game to evoke emotion.
I'll tell you what, though. I'm going to download the game and I'll let you know.
All right.
Well, I just appreciate you both being honest. This is one question I'd be interested to see if any listeners want to comment on the website, how many stories to share. I think there's one game that made me cry, but it wasn't through the gameplay. So I have a little story to tell. Basically, what happened was, for whatever reason, I really wanted the game Clay Fighter. Are either of you familiar with the Clay Fighter series of games?
Yes, you have no idea.
So I was at that point in my growing up where we had the NES, and then we got a Sega Genesis. So I have these two consoles. And so I wanted Clay Fighter for the Sega Genesis. Well, I think it was for Christmas, my grandmother got me Clay Fighter for Super Nintendo. And I mean, you can't blame her. She doesn't know video games. She saw the title. She probably got excited. She was just happy she could find it, you know? She didn't know it was the wrong system and I couldn't play it. And so, I mean, you have to keep in mind, I've been looking forward to getting this one game for probably weeks, if not months. And it took every ounce of willpower I had to be polite and act excited and grateful. And I fully confess, later that night when we got home from the holiday stuff, I cried. I was like, here's the game I wanted, and I can't even play it. But the twist in this tale is that my birthday is in January, and I got a Super Nintendo from my mom. So
nice.
Then I could play Clay Fighter.
Who was your favorite character?
Well, I ended up getting Clay Fighter 2 Judgment Day, so I got to go with Bad Mr. Frosty.
That's a good one.
Although, if I had to play competitively, I'd probably go with the Blob.
Yeah, I'd go back between the Blob and Blue Suede Goo.
Because
I thought the whole Elvis thing was hilarious.
I also liked Tiny.
Tiny's a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
Ichabod Clay, I liked him. Mm-hmm. The whole, I watched like a short video about how they made that game, and it's the man hours is...
Oh, it's insane, the amount of work.
Yeah, it's inhuman. And now, in the grand scheme of things, okay, yeah, Clay Fighter, it was popular. I don't think it really hit its peak until 63 and a third came out because of Boogerman and Earthworm Jim. And that, then the Championship Edition or whatever came out after that, and it was really rare.
Yep. Sculptor's Edition?
The Sculptor's Edition, that's what it was.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, that first one, like I can still remember the world map of where you fight everybody and the music. Yep. It was one of those games that was, oh, what am I kidding? Bonker. That's who I used to play as, was Bonker. Because you could throw pies at people. That's right.
Hey, you can't beat that. Well, throw pies at people.
That last 20 minutes was a complete lie. I'm sorry about that. Bonker. That's who I used to play as. But no, it was a really fun, yeah, it was a rip of Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter or whatever, but it was like they took technology that was, you know, unheard of, especially in the game realm, and they did something really amazing with it, and it's one of those things where it's like, how can you not appreciate this? Like, how was this game not popular?
Yeah, it's one of those franchises I really wouldn't mind seeing come back and be interesting. So, yeah, never has actual gameplay made me cry, just events surrounding video games. I came close when we were playing Super Smash Brothers on Nintendo 64 with a bunch of friends and my sister, and our dog chewed through one of the controller cords and shorted out the whole console. Like, it was just dead.
Wow.
So that sucked. So I came close. I don't think I cried, but that'd be the other candidate. All right, well, let's take a musical break before we hit the retro showdown, shall we? We shall.
We shall.
We shall. We shall. Welcome back, listeners. That was Palace Zelda 2 Remix by Micah. A very nice little remix of the Palace theme from Zelda 2 on NES. And now, of course, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
One quick little bookkeeping note I need to get out of the way, and I will try to be brief. From now on, we are actually going to announce the results from 2 weeks ago. The reason being is that we record on Thursday evenings, and if the episode goes up on Monday, some people, it's not even available on iTunes until Tuesday. Basically, we've realized that between publishing and recording, a lot of people don't have enough time to vote, and we're getting votes after we record the next episode. So just to give over a week's worth of fair voting time, we're going to start announcing 2 weeks ahead. Okay? Okay? Great. So that means that the winner from 2 weeks ago is still Chex Quest.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Jason, on your victory there.
Thank you.
And yeah, listeners, remember, if you listen and you have an opinion, go ahead and vote on the website. We encourage that. And if you guys are ready, I know I'm ready to get started with the showdown.
Ready when you are.
All right, timer going.
Timer is set. You may begin.
Tonight, I am reaching way back to 1981. I'm picking an arcade game called Satan of Saturn. This was a game made by SNK, which made a lot of classic titles, of course. And Taito actually made a clone called Zarzan. But the point is, the name alone is wonderful. Satan of Saturn. You can't beat that. But the gameplay is interesting as well. This is a space shooter, much like a Galaga or Space Invaders. It's a fixed screen, and you can move your ship left and right across the bottom of the screen as you shoot at oncoming starships. But it actually seems a step or two ahead of Galaga or Space Invaders. It's a very colorful game. There's some fun sound effects. And after the first few waves of generic starships, there begin to come some that dive straight at you in a diagonal pattern. And then once you get past all those, you head to Saturn where you start shooting against bugs and it feels more like Centipede. If you can endure the bugs and then the giant bugs, the game does repeat in true arcade style as you work towards a high score. It is a challenging game. It's fairly difficult, but it's fast-paced, and even just the way you fire with the projectiles as fast as they move, it's a different feel from some of the other classic shooters. I highly recommend it to any shoot-'em-up fans out there just to try it, or even if you've never heard of it, go check it out. It's interesting. And it even has a short musical track that rips off the Star Wars theme. So, like I said, the name is Satan of Saturn. And if all else fails, my argument will be just to keep repeating that name over and over. Satan of Saturn by SNK.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready?
I am ready.
You may begin.
My pick for this week's Retro Showdown is one that sits closely to my heart. Now, of course, I'm speaking of Super Bomberman for the Super NES. Released in 1993 and developed by Hudson Soft, Super Bomberman is one for the ages. There are two modes of gameplay, a story mode and a battle mode. Now, I've never played much of the story mode, so nuts to that. But the battle mode is where my pride and joy is. My friends and I would rank this game among the most popular multiplayer games to play, such as GoldenEye and Mario Kart and Halo. With all the inceptions of the series, the Super Bomberman was by far, in my opinion, the best. Now, the battle mode consisted of 12 different non-scrolling maps where up to four players can fight it out by dropping bombs and watching things go boom. Each different player starts in a separate corner of the map. You wait for the countdown and let the fun begin. The last player standing wins the match. The player with the most trophies wins the game. Of all, 12 maps are unique in their own way, including a classic map, warps, and my favorite, the power zone, where every player starts off with the maximum number of power-ups in the game, which provides including the ability to drop multiple bombs, increased flame range, and speed.
So pull out those dusty old multi-taps and get your friends together. It's going to be one bomb of a night.
All right.
One bomb of a night.
Did you write that joke, Hunter?
It was 3:30 in the morning. And I had gone to bed at midnight, and I woke up, and I was like, I can't sleep right now. What am I going to do? Boom. I wrote this. I wrote five of these in 45 minutes. So I've got five games set up.
Nice.
With closing arguments, by the way.
Nice.
That's one bomb of a strategy.
All right. I will. Okay, I will begin. The game I chose this week was Duke Nukem 2. The second Duke Nukem 2D game, it features hero Duke Nukem facing off against the evil Rigelitons and their plan to enslave the Earth. Previously, Duke had defeated Dr. Proton, and now he must break out of the Rigelians' prison and attack their forces to save the world. The game is a platforming game featuring combat where one can use your flamethrower, laser gun, and rocket launcher to shoot through multiple levels. You can collect points. And overall, the game is a fantastic romp through Duke Nukem history. It's Duke Nukem. It's awesome.
That's
Duke
it? Nukem.
That's it.
That's all you got?
Duke Nukem, it's awesome?
Duke Nukem 2. What more do I have to say?
Why would you pick the sequel?
Why wouldn't I? It's superior to the original in so many ways.
Okay.
Like what?
Explain.
Oh, it's got a fantastic soundtrack. You know, it doesn't rip off graphics from Mega Man and Turrican like the original did.
What?
The original Duke Nukem, heavily borrowed graphics from Turrican and the MS-DOS version of Mega Man.
Aren't you the guy who regularly submits mods as your choice for the game for the Retro Showdown?
Did we not have a previous discussion today talking about a Zelda mod and how fantastic it was?
I haven't played it yet.
It's not a mod. It's a hack. There's a difference. But go back. Go back. You said that it takes elements from Mega Man?
No, the original Duke Nukem.
That sounds cool to me. I mean,
yeah, the original Duke Nukem actually literally takes sprites from Turrican and Mega Man and uses them within the game. This one has a completely original sprite pack.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about a Duke Nukem 2 or 3D 2. Like, I'm just like.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. I didn't even know what game you're talking about.
Oh, God. Okay, he can't argue anymore against me.
So obscure.
Yeah.
Terrible. No, I know what's going on now.
Nukem 2. It's a 2D game.
Yeah,
released in 93.
Didn't they, the first thing they did was to try that game out, they just did a Super Mario Brothers level and then just put him in there?
For Duke Nukem?
Yeah. That's how they got started. They're like, oh, we're going to take a game, we're going to just replace Mario and put this character that we'd made, and his name's
that was Wolfenstein.
Oh, what? No, that's not right.
Yeah, Wolfenstein actually started with them trying to pitch a Mario clone to Nintendo to release on the PC. The Nintendo said no, and they went off and did their own thing.
All I know is that whenever I hear Duke Nukem nowadays, I get a bitter taste in my mouth due to Duke Nukem Forever.
Why? Because there was what was it, 15-year span difference?
I have not played it, but I've read reviews, and it sounds pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
It is pretty bad.
Yeah, it's really bad.
It's horrible.
So it's honestly, it's really tough for me to come into this with an objective point of view towards Duke Nukem 2. Even just hearing the brand Duke Nukem almost makes me sick.
You could say that about your Kid Icarus last week.
I think you did. So
I did.
Duke Nukem is one of those. Yes. It's Duke Nukem is one of those. It's just a boring game. It's boring. Like the series didn't even take off till 3D. Like the whole series was a joke beforehand.
Oh no, the series was huge beforehand.
Before 3D,
3D? Pushed it way past that though.
It looks okay. I'm watching a video of it now. It's all right. I don't know.
It just looks boring. Like, it's plain. All the sprites are kind of bland, and the backgrounds are kind of blah. And
the boxes explode into multicolored jelly beans. Got there are floppy beans. Disks to be found.
It's the 90s. Gotta have floppy disks.
It does have the 90s also the tendency towards the circular explosions. Like, every explosion is a series of circles emanating from their source.
this game being released in the 90s doesn't... No, floppy... No, that's terrible. Floppy disks? No, this is supposed to be set in the future. This whole game is, like, post-apocalyptic. There's no, oh, no the floppy game takes... disk in the future.
Yeah, the game takes place in 1998. Still what? Using floppy disks.
In 98?
Yeah, it takes place in 98.
No, I don't 1998 being anything like this. There's like aliens and stuff.
You have Duke Nukem to thank for that. Stop those aliens.
Oh, I get it.
yeah.
I still wouldn't vote for this game.
Duke Nukem is he's like the epitome of the antagonist protagonist thing. Like, you know, he's Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's Jean-Claude Van Damme,
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Wait, let me start over. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Awesome.
Did you just get those movies like a year ago?
Did he slather his head in mustard, or is his hair just that yellow?
It is that yellow.
That's disturbing.
He should be he should be like a hot dog guy.
I think he is in a way. I think he is just a hot dog.
I'm just confused. Why two? Why wouldn't you just pick the first one?
You mean the original Duke Nukem, not 3D?
No. Why would you pick Duke Nukem? Why would you pick Duke Nukem 2 and not Duke Nukem? Like, the sequel? Why?
It's superior to Duke Nukem 1. Duke Nukem 1 was very bland compared. It's amazing. It's platforming elements. It's fighting. It's a bunch of cheesy lines.
Well, I don't need to see anymore. I'm done with Duke Nukem 2. Yeah. Let's talk about Super Bomberman.
Actually, let's talk about Satan of Saturn, which is also known as Zarzon.
Okay, sure. It's a pretty sweet game, huh?
Zarzon?
No. Satan of Saturn.
No, it's Zarzon is the name.
Nope. The original game was Satan of Saturn.
But they had to change it to Zarzon.
They didn't have to change it. That's what Taito recalled it when they started making their version of the game.
See, this is when a game company takes that great name for a game to shitty gameplay quality, and they kind of balance the two. It's obviously Satan of Saturn, which I don't even know why they're going after Saturn. What's wrong with Saturn? I don't think
Satan's on it.
Saturn.
Satan's on hell. Didn't you play Doom? He's on Mars.
Hunter, you silly Doom? Thing. This is a completely different game. A different mythology is at work here.
I don't think they'd go that far just to make Zarzon.
They'd go as far as Saturn.
Zarzon.
And we're not talking about Zarzon. We're talking about Satan of Saturn.
Which is known as Zarzon.
It's a little different.
That's when, so, this is an 80s thing. This is when, so it's 90s was floppy disks. 80s was names with Z. Zarzon.
No, we're not talking about Zarzon. We're talking about Satan of Saturn.
Which is also known as Zarzon.
No, it's a little bit different. Different publisher. They use a little bit different sound effects. There's even a key difference in the gameplay mechanic. In Satan of Saturn, when the diagonal starships dive down, there's a force field that stops them. In Zarzon, there is not. So let's stick to talking about Satan of Saturn. Thank you very much. I didn't
like how it illegally uses the musical sequences from Star Wars.
And I like that on the wiki page, they consider, Zarzon to be like a lot of arcade games.
Which is a good thing. Arcade games are classic. And if you're going to have a classic game, why not use classic music like the Star Wars theme? You guys are just supporting my choice. You realize this.
What? We're not supporting Zarzon.
Yeah, we're not talking about Zarzon. We're talking about Satan of Saturn.
I will give Satan of Saturn one thing. It had a cool name, and then they named it Zarzon.
No, SNK, when they made the original game, called it Satan of Saturn. Zarzon is what Taito called their clone of the game. I'm not talking about the clone tonight. I'm just talking about Satan of Saturn.
So okay, I'm watching video of it right now, and it's one of those games like I think I would like if I never played any other shooter before it.
I'm writing down a quote from you, Hunter. This is a direct quote. It looks like one of those games I would like. All right, great. I'll take that. Jason, what do you have to say about...
What did I say that?
Are we allowed to misquote now?
And why are you quoting me? That's 10 cents. That's 10 cents a quote, my friend.
You got it. That is worth it. Thank you so much for complimenting my game, Hunter. It looks like a game I would like.
Okay.
And it's not a misquote. That is accurate.
If we're gonna do that, if we're gonna misquote and go back and forth and that kind of thing,
isn't that what a debate is, my friend?
Shaq Fu.
You and your Shaq Fu. I think that speaks for your taste right there.
I wouldn't play this game, though. That's the thing.
You just said it looks like a game I would like.
I have a question.
When did I say that?
Like 2 minutes ago. You'll hear it later when you listen to this recording.
No, I'm going to edit it out. You crazy? It's going to make you it's gonna make you sound like Looney Tunes.
Oh, he's mad with power.
I guess so. I sound crazy enough every week. Oh, go ahead, Jason. What's your question?
In the background, you have lots of things like planets and... Not really sure. Are those supposed to be craters?
They look like marbles.
The marbles, I think, are later on after the marbles. You get to these like things that kind of look like, I don't know.
Yeah, those
badly baked
things.
Cookies. They're like orangey red.
What's with aren't all the so green weird? At the bottom? Like the HUD of this thing is just poorly designed.
Green is my favorite color. I look at this game and I immediately feel happy.
But what are the point of all these objects that... Obviously, your weapons pass through and your enemies pass through.
It's part of the background. Have you ever played a video game, Jason?
I have. Usually, they incorporate the background into some type of physical object. Let's say...
And if it's not incorporated, you can easily tell what it is.
Yeah. Like this one, you with the craters, the orangey-brown things, you actually have what I'm assuming is the spaceship at the end with all the bugs coming out, walking down towards you.
Wait a second. So I got a question. Was Zarzan ever ported to a home console?
I wouldn't know. I'm not talking about Zarzan tonight. I'm talking about Satan of Saturn.
Okay, so was Zarzan ever ported to a home console?
I don't know about Zarzan.
All right, let's... SOS. What about SOS? Save our souls from this terrible game.
I'm not familiar with that game. It doesn't sound very fun.
Satan of Saturn, SOS.
Oh, Satan of Saturn. I don't think it actually ever was ported anywhere, no.
Well, you know, there was a lot of crap left at the arcade.
True, but and how Zarzan dare you besmirch the good reputation of the arcade? Arcade games are classic and classy.
Yeah, but there's still crappy games for the arcade. And I like this one, Zarzan, your game.
There are some arcade games I don't like, but Satan of Saturn is not one of them.
You mean Zarzan?
I mean Satan of Saturn. But it's just like Space Invaders or Galaga.
I'd like to read a review by someone.
Is this someone, Jason Lamb?
No.
This is somebody very important.
Other games around this time did a much better job of finding novel variations on the Space Invaders formula.
Dang.
Galaga, Phoenix and Palades, to name a few. It's a crappy game.
It's one of those just boring...
It's one of those things that was left in 1981, and everyone's glad it was left there because...
Well,
it's a bandwagon game. It's a bandwagon game. They jumped on the bandwagon to make this game. Just like, I mean, SNK's known for bandwagon games with Art of Fighting. What was the other big fighter game? They were jumping on the bandwagon of Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat. And
the game is called Satan of Saturn. It's so cool.
Zarzan? Talking about Zarzan?
No. Satan of Saturn. What a crazy name.
Yeah, Zarzan's pretty crazy.
That's pretty crazy.
It's a crazy name for a game.
That is a very 80s name, Zarzan.
Yeah, that's when the Z's came out. At least my game's original. My game takes an idea that nobody's done before and completely wrapped it on its head.
With the exception of all the Bomberman games that came out before it.
Did you say it's done nothing that any other game had done before?
No. I said it was an original idea.
Do you have an obsession with grid-based games? Because it's basically Trog with bombs.
Oh, no.
It is. Totally is.
A four-player action, my friend.
Who plays four-player games on Super Nintendo?
If you got a multi-tap, you make it happen.
Super Nintendo is not known for four-player gameplay. Nobody plays four-player games on Super Nintendo.
Okay, so one of the best things, and this will really help out for you, Bailey. If you don't have four friends or friends at all to play with, you can just turn the AI on. You can just let the computer run the other three. So that'll help out, right?
Are you pitching AI as a feature?
Yeah. I think he's just dodging our
question. In a multiplayer game, yeah. In a battle mode, yeah. I think that's huge.
It's not huge.
Oh, come on. That was one of the things we missed in GoldenEye 64. Don't admit it. Just leave it quiet. No. Don't admit it. We'll leave it quiet.
You know, I played Super Mario Brothers the other day. The AI was pretty cool in that. There was all these Goombas and Turtles. They were automatically generated by the computer. I didn't even need a third or fourth player. So mind-blowing.
That's not known. That's not what we're talking
about. No. There have been over 70 Bomberman games.
I know. Super Bomberman was when they got it right, because all the other stuff, I will admit, the rest of the series, like, you know, Bomberman 64 and whatever they came out for the Dreamcast and the GameCube, like, that stuff's, they went real, like, anime with it, and it's all, that's weird. Super Bomberman is the man's.
You know what? It's not even
Bomberman.
They've actually, if you're pitching four players as a feature, they've actually stepped back in the series. If you play Bomberman 93, that allowed five players to compete at the same time.
Super Bomberman even the best 16-bit Bomberman.
Bomberman 93.
And Mega Bomberman on Sega Genesis. Far superior.
How? How was Mega Bomberman so much better than Super Bomberman?
Because it has just one example. Louis. Super Bomberman does not have Louis. For those who don't know, Louis are a kangaroo-like steed that you can gain in the game. That not only provides an additional hit point, since they can blow up before the Bomberman does, but each different color provides a special ability. It adds a whole nother dimension to multiplayer gameplay when there's a possibility that someone might get a Louis that can jump over explosions, or someone can get one that makes them move faster. Plus, Mega Bomberman had more variety of levels. It had the max power-up level, just like Super Bomberman did, but it had many other themed levels as well.
So they took aspects. The whole Louie thing is a ripoff of Super Bomberman. You could punch bombs. You could kick bombs. You could punch them out of the way, move them out of the way. You could get speed boosts. It's so...
But
they took all the really cool power-ups and put them in easy power-up so everybody could win and be happy and clap hands and that kind of thing. That's
incorrect. Mega Bomberman still has the power-ups. You can still kick bombs, gain more bombs, line up bombs in front of you, etc. The Louis are just a whole additional thing. And here's one thing you can't say about Super Bomberman. In Mega Bomberman, you can choose different types of Bomberman to be, which for a human player only affects your appearance. But when you select the different kind of Bomberman for the computer players, it actually changes the AI's behavior.
So I'm confused. Is your argument that Bomberman just in whole is an amazing game and Zarzan's not? Is that?
It's more so the case of you seem to be championing Super Bomberman as the apex title of the Bomberman line. And not only is it not in the top 5 or 10, but it's not even the best 16-bit Bomberman game.
It's the game that I played with all my friends. You can't play four people on the Mega Bomberman.
You can.
With what?
I did
How?
It all the time.
You can play five.
How?
With the four-player peripheral for the Sega Genesis. Me and my friends and family did it. I can't help but that you and your friends had worse taste.
No, we had Super NES. We didn't. Genesis. Sega didn't do anything until the Dreamcast came out. All right.
Whoa. Didn't do anything? That's another quote. Listeners, I just want to say Eric Hunter just said Sega didn't do anything.
Keep that in mind when you're voting for last week's poll.
Until the Dreamcast came out.
Listen, you could play with five players on the TurboGrafx.
Yeah, but that's awkward. That's not. That's
amazing.
It's odd man out just because you're adding more players. Yeah, because, you know, in the games nowadays, you can do 30 on 30. Who the hell wants to do that?
That's awesome.
It's way too many people. It throws the map off completely. But when you're doing four, you know, two on two with Super Bomberman, because you can team up. Can you team up on Mega Bomberman? Who wants to do two on three? That's not fair.
It's not two on three. It's 2-2 with someone being Chaos in the middle.
Yeah, that's not fair. That gives them an unfair advantage.
Fun.
No.
Jason, quick question for you.
Yes?
Did you make a joke along the lines of describing your game as one bomb of a night? No, you didn't. Hunter did, and it was awful. Just wanted to remind you.
Sorry, I blanked there for a second. I had wiped that from my mind in hopes of never remembering.
Hey, that's writing that pays, gentlemen. That's writing that pays. One bomb of a night. Why would you want to destroy Saturn?
I don't know how Zarzan works, but in Satan of Saturn, you're just going after Satan. Saturn gets to stick around.
Oh, wait a second. Fly your spaceship to Saturn, then once on Saturn, just destroy as many Satans as possible?
Lots of Satans
going
around.
There's more than one Satan?
It's horrifying, isn't it? The original survival horror.
It sounds a little redundant. Wouldn't one be enough?
You know, I don't know if you've ever played a video game hunter, but they usually have more than one enemy. You can call it redundant all you want, but that's actually
decent design. There's not more than one Bowser. There's only one Bowser. You know? There's not more than one Ganon. There's only one Ganon.
I think I've seen Ganon many times in many Zelda games.
No, no, I'm talking about one game and just one title.
So am I. Satan of Saturn. That's the only title I'm talking about. You seem to be confusing it with other titles.
It sounds like you're just pushing it off. It's Zorzon. It's Zorzon.
It's not. Yeah. I don't know why you're so confused.
It's not Bomberman.
Amen. Thank you, Jason. Theoretical high five.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Zorzon's so much better than Super Bomberman.
Oh, Zorzon might suck, but I'm not talking about Zorzon. Yeah. I'm talking about Satan.
No power-ups.
You know what game is good? Duke Nukem 2.
Keep dreaming, Jason.
Duke Nukem 2.
You can't even play two players at the same time. You have to alternate in Zorzon. That's lame. I can play four players at the same time in my game.
I can't play five.
Why would I? I never had a fourth friend. I only have three friends.
Sorry.
That's really upsetting. Thanks for bringing that up, man. It's fine.
Now you have something about games to cry about.
Ooh.
So you know, on the One More podcast, and they're making fun of me.
Come on, Hunter, grow a pair.
I've got two. You need two when you play Super Bomberman. You need two pairs.
That's a lot of pairs going on.
That's what you need. It's a man's game, not Zorzon. Not Duke Nukem 2. Why Duke Nukem 2? It doesn't make any sense.
Of course it's an excellent game. I didn't go for the obvious Duke Nukem 3D. I didn't go for the original Duke Nukem 1. I went for Duke Nukem 2.
Fun fact, you guys were talking about how many players can play your games. 1,000 people can play Satan of Saturn at one time. Granted, they each have to have their own arcade cabinet, but...
You can say the same about Duke Nukem.
No, you can't. Duke Nukem is not an arcade game. You're crazy, Jason.
He's got a point. It's not an arcade game.
It's not, thank God.
Bomberman was, but, you know, not Zorzon.
Actually, Zorzon was an arcade game, but I'm not sure why I keep bringing it up since I picked Satan of Saturn tonight.
Because it's the same game. It's the same title.
Yeah, it's close, but it's not the same.
It's Okay. Do you believe that Link's Awakening and Link's Awakening DS are the same game, or are they different games?
They are different games.
No, they're the same game.
No, DX has some additional enhancements that the original does not.
But it's nothing that would change the ultimate gameplay, correct?
I'm not saying it changes it by a factor of 30%. Zorzon and Satan of Saturn are probably 99% identical, but...
So it's the same game?
No, it's not.
The only difference is the name change.
That's actually not. There are different sound effects and different gameplay mechanics.
There's only four screens in this game?
Wait, hold on. If we're going down this thread of logic, does that mean Bomberman is the same as the other Bomberman games?
I think that's what Hunter's saying. He's offending a lot of people right now. Would you say that two identical twins are the same just because they're mostly the same? They have the same genetics. If I were an identical twin, I'd be so offended. If I were a fraternal twin, I'd be offended.
No, your logic. Oh my God, what's my deal tonight?
You are drunk.
Shit, I might as well be. Your luggage.
You're not editing this out.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Why can't I say this word? Your logic is flawed. Your logic is flawed. If Super Bomberman had went to a different system and changed it to, I don't know, Flogging McMolly, then yes, I would say that both of those games are exactly the same. There's a reason that Super is in front of the title of Super Bomberman. It's a completely different game. Whereas in Zorzon and, I'm sorry, Saturn, whatever, SOS, they're the exact same game.
All right, Hunter, I have to say, it seems like every week your tactic against me is just to say that my game is similar to something else. I look forward to the day when you can actually point out a flaw in my game.
I just did. There's only four screens in the game. It looks boring. You can't make out what it is. All the sprites are just... none of it makes sense. You got to be on LSD.
Did you say you wanted to make out with it?
I said none of the images make any sense. The graphics are confusing. It looks boring.
You said earlier, and I quote, it looks like a game I would like. Word for word.
That is word for word.
So, Jason, any closing arguments for Duke Nukem 2?
Duke Nukem 2 is a really good game. And Bomberman. Bomberman.
All right, he's done. It's my turn.
Good call. Okay, go ahead, Hunter.
All right, closing arguments. Bombs on Grave. This was something that my friends and I came up with. After you defeated your opponent, when there are a few seconds left before the match officially ends, you can walk around the map. You can drop as many bombs as possible where your opponent had just died, allowing to blow up their grave, which is the ultimate insult, even over the teabag in modern gaming. Bombs on Grave.
That's your argument?
That is my closing argument.
That is sadistic and twisted and offensive.
Bombs on Grave.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and give my closing argument. My game is called Satan of Saturn. In my game, you get to travel through space to kill Satan, or many Satans if you would like, a feat I don't believe is equaled in many other games. And if you like shoot 'em ups, mine is the obvious choice this week. And with that, that is our retro showdown tonight. As we wrap up, a quick few plugs. I'd like to thank Ben Landis once again for use of his tracks for the intro and outro. If you guys aren't familiar with him, check him out on Twitter at TheBenLandis. That's TheBenLandis. And as always, you can check out OneMoreCastle.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at /OneMoreCastle for those. Jason, anything you want to plug tonight?
You can find me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. And I just wanted to point out, anyone who wants to get into some retro PC gaming, if you head over to goodoldgames.com, that's GOG.com, you can buy 32 games, 21 soundtracks, and 721 extras for $35 right now.
Huh. Cool. All right. Thanks for that. Hunter, how about you?
You can check me out on Twitter at Eric Hunter, and my website is ericmhunter.net.
Excellent. Be sure to check those out. To find me on Twitter, I'm at Nintendo_legend. And once again, the interlude artist was Micah with the Palace Zelda 2 remix. There's going to be a download link on the website. So that will be it for this episode. We hope to see you next week at One More Podcastle. And remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president.